Focus on the Family on AM 1230 KPRL and 99.3 FM is brought to you by Sculptera Winery and Sculpture Garden. The Frankel family and staff invite you to visit their beautiful world and taste their award-winning estate wine. Open daily 10 to 5 on Lanay Road in Paso Robles.
Well, in 1976, I spent 5.5 weeks behind the Iron Curtain working with Christians that were suffering as a result of their convictions, their faith.
Christian apologist Greg Kokel on Focus on the Family Minute.
And I made an observation there that's carried through, that one of two things is going to rule, either power or truth. And if truth isn't the standard by which people make decisions, power is going to be the thing that rules. Now, this goes, you know, all the way back to the beginning when, with the fall, they decided not to follow the truth. Okay, what is left? Force. And we see the same thing happening in our country right now, where truth is set aside. We have a wildly relativistic culture, and so the only thing that rules now is power. More and more, we see this totalitarian influence. And so this is a wake-up call for Christians.
Hear the entire conversation at familyminute.org.
Focus on the Family on AM 1230 KPRL and 99.3 FM is brought to you by Sculptera Winery and Sculpture Garden. The Frankel family and staff invites you to visit their beautiful world and taste their award-winning estate wine. Open daily 10 to 5 on Lanay Road in Paso Robles.
Paul Harvey's The Rest of the Story, brought to you by Frontier Floors and Window Coverings at 830 21st Street in Paso Robles. Call 805-238-7878 or online at frontierfloors.net.
The rest of the story. Mr. Harlan should not have been going through his clerk's desk in the first place. That in itself was a breach of employer-employee trust. But for employer James Harlan actually to read what the employee had written on the pages inside that desk drawer, well, that was unforgivable. But these were the days when employees had few rights, and the rights they had were revocable. So Mr. Harlan, inspired by the suspicions of a tattletale assistant, crept into his clerk's office after hours, helped himself to the private property he found in the desk, and began to read it at his leisure. And with each page, Mr. Harlan blushed a little brighter red and grew even more incensed. The very idea that an employee of his could be composing such obscenity was beyond his imagining. You see, Mr. Harlan was strictly, uncompromisingly religious, a fanatical Methodist, although the phrase seems in itself contradictory. In any case, however, and despite the fact that his office was an arm of the federal government, he insisted that his place of business reflect the high moral tone of his own personal life. How obsessed was he? Well, Mr. Harlan refused to hire women in his department on the ground that their presence might be injurious to the morals of the men. Now, on the other hand, these pages Mr. Harlan discovered in his clerk's desk did include some extremely provocative material, especially in the context of the times. Repeated references to, well, to intercourse, conventional and otherwise. And so, for having offended the sensibilities of the boss, even though he had to go skulking in the night and rummaging through a desk to get him offended, Mr. Harlan promptly, perfunctorily, and unceremoniously issued a pink slip. The clerk cleaned out what remained in his desk drawers, and he was gone that same day. And by the way, James Harlan, former United States Senator James Harlan, was at the time of the firing you've just heard described United States Secretary of the Interior and a very close friend of President Abraham Lincoln. He had been appointed only a month before the assassination. In fact, James Harlan would later be lampooned by author Mark Twain as a pompous literary character, the Reverend Orson Balaam. But the reason Lincoln's uptight Interior Secretary is remembered is neither for his political accomplishments nor for his having inspired a great American humorist, but rather for having terminated a lowly clerk in the Indian office of the Department of the Interior. Just cause? Indecency. That's the way the record reads. Now you will remember Mr. Harlan every time you browse the poetry section of any local bookstore. Where you see the obscene material, Secretary Harlan surreptitiously confiscated in the middle of the night. That book of poetry, carefully edited for publication by the poet's own hand, was a volume entitled Leaves of Grass, composed by a clerk whom posterity would vindicate, a clerk named Walt Whitman. Now you know the rest of the story.
This hour of Sound Off on KPRL brought to you by the Book Heating and Air, your local reliable heating and air expert. Call 805-423-5119.
238-5775. 238-KPRL. Sound Off continues on KPRL, the North County's number one choice for news, talk, and sports. This is Sound Off on the right choice, KPRL.
Welcome back to Sound Off. My name is Karen Veeley, your host on Wednesday and Thursday afternoon. I'm also an investigative reporter with Cal Coast News. Go to Cal Coast News. There is no paywall. And during the political season, we're going to have more blockbuster political stories coming out soon. I have a couple cases I'm working on. As soon as everything is vetted, the information will be released. Today, I have former Slo County Supervisor Debbie Arnold, and I also have Greg Graywald. They used to work together. They were very involved in the water. Debbie was of the most knowledgeable of anybody in the county what was going on with the Paso Robles Basin. But when they lost the board majority, Bruce Gibson pushed and the other two voted to kick off both Debbie Arnold and John Pashon, and things went a little south. And I'm going to start by asking Greg, what has the board, the new board, completed since they removed Debbie Arnold, of the things they were supposed to do since they removed Debbie Arnold and John Pashon from the board they now created?
That's an easy one. That would be nothing. They haven't the new board. The first thing that Bruce Gibson did is he tried to force some kind of an equity statement, and that didn't go anywhere. And the whole purpose of these groundwater agencies, they're called GSAs, and the purpose of putting together a plan, which is the GSP, and the plan was approved by the state. And now what you have to do is you have to implement what the state approved. That's what the board's supposed to do. They're not there to raise money. They're not there to keep paying their consultant friends. I call it the carousel of consultants because we get the same ones over and over and over again. And they've made so much money off of basin issues that are unreasonable. And right now, here just a week or so ago, adjudication was just finalized down in Ventura County. So a lot smaller basin than ours, but the court sided with the overliers, the people over the land that were complaining of these agencies and these agency people that think they need to be in charge, and they don't have the priority right. They want to be in charge, but they're not following the law. So we were talking about the law earlier. The law is the priority right goes to the overlier, the people that live over the land.
The landowners.
Yeah, the landowners. And Why don't the landowners have a voice? We had a voice with Debbie Arnold. She was the constituents voted her in that fifth district to represent them.
And Debbie, what did you do? What did you and John complete while you were on the board?
Yeah, and that sadly we did what the state demanded. We know I'm not going to say that we know in California, which is an arid state in so many of the places in the state, that the water had been overused in a lot of places. The water wars have been going on 100 years since California settled, since the gold rush. The Southern California needs water from the north to survive. The San Joaquin breadbasket of the world, San Joaquin Valley, needs water from the north to be able to grow all those things. But, you know, it's so sad to me. If we just had commonsensical people in charge, we would be able to pull that off, because we do, our mountains to the east fill up with snow, and that snow melts and runs to the ocean, and we could store it, you know, and that was the plan originally. We built huge cities and huge farming areas based on the fact that California was supposed to be building enough water storage to support all that. And so somewhere along the line, those things were never built, and we, and then regulations that we have to ship our water and just let it go out to the ocean, all those things that people know about have made a water shortage, a serious water shortage. When we come to this county, though, when I got elected, we were in a drought, and I feel like that drought was exploited by a few people to try to tax and regulate people, the landowners. We stopped that, and we complied with the state of California. We said, sure, we're with you here. We love our county. We want to manage the water. We don't want to deplete our water basin. And we put in a plan to do that, and then we got kicked off. And the thing that the new plan, yeah, I'll let you take that call.
Welcome to Sound Off. What would you like to bring to the conversation?
Thanks, Karen, for having Debbie on and Greg, two common sense people. But I want to harken back to what they were talking about as it relates to how crazy immigration issues have gotten. You know, there's a story out, and people should really take this and really consider where this is coming from, that Cesar Chavez somehow has been was supposedly having sexual relations with people underage. Now, I want people to think about this. Cesar Chavez, who has been dead since 1993, this is how diabolical these immigration people are, the open borders type. They're bringing this up, and you know why? Because Cesar Chavez hated illegal immigration. And you know why he hated illegal immigration, Karen?
Why?
Because it undermined legal workers in the United States, and he was trying to protect legal workers who were Hispanic and minority groups from being undermined by this invasion of illegal workers, which we attempted to address in 1986 through the Immigration Reform Act of 86, where we legalized 3.5 million, which has now morphed to about 20 plus million or more. And this is how diabolical these people will go to the extreme of attempting to smear a great man like Cesar Chavez with what he had to go through during that entire time. And I think that people ought to see that this is a diabolical smear on this man who, by the way, happened to hate illegal immigration.
I have noticed that people are pretty dirty in politics. And when they don't get their way, they like to try. Debbie, you've been a victim of that. I've been a victim of that. And it seems like they can't stop themselves.
Well, as our caller was saying, which I appreciated those comments, by the way, but during when you're running for election, you have people that are paid to try to find the holes in you so that people won't vote for you. So it's just this constant battle. But I do appreciate that being brought up, because immigration, I don't think any of the three of us in this room are post-immigration. And over the years in my lifetime, we've had very successful, not even if people don't want to immigrate here permanently, but farm worker programs and things that have worked out very well. What usually makes those kinds of programs less successful is eventually they become bogged down and too much regulation and too much expense and et cetera. The government gets too involved, and that usually hurts it. But yeah, orderly, our country's, yeah.
May I just make one other point before, and I'll go, is people need to understand, and people haven't really gotten to the point where they get the fact that California, which was always a center-right state, up until about the 90s, where then it became a one-party state, has their total political system and cultural system in California was totally disrupted by what has become immigration issues, because we have basically disrupted the entire political system of our state. We're a one-party system, and I believe, and I think I can show it through the statistics, that we have been flipped by this out-of-control immigration policies that very liberal folks in California have fallen for and or have pushed for it. And now they're working on states like Texas. People need to understand this is diabolical, it is political, and it's designed for one thing, and that's for Democrats to have one-party rule and to have what's happening in California happen nationwide. God help us.
Thank you very much for calling in.
Yeah, that's why they need to control the water and the food. Because if you control those things, then you just follow the money. Follow the money on who's involved. When Debbie got the one vote, one landowner for the 2453 Assembly Bill that was trying to push a special district in the Paso Robles Basin, and we told the local government what we wanted by our vote. And Debbie can tell you, because God bless her soul, she got that done to where we weren't taken. And so the powers to be at that time, Bruce Gibson and Frank Meacham, well, we got to let the people vote. Well, the people voted, and then they turned right around and came back with these same people pushing a different program, which was this new water cooperative group first, and now with this water authority group. They're the same people. They're the same people for the last 25 years that have created this issue, and they haven't been successful on doing one thing. And the one thing was to benefit the basin and to follow the law. But the law doesn't benefit them, so they want to make the rules. They want to change the rules with who gets to be in charge of this thing. That's why I brought up this court action that just happened down in Ventura, because it specifically states, you know, they use these terms, like they'll say stakeholders. Stakeholders is not a legal term. We're overliers, and the overliers have the priority right. That's why they don't want to use that term. They don't want you to have the priority right. They don't want you to be treated with the respect of being the landowner that you are, and that you have the priority right to the access of that water.
How does this case impact our county?
It shows that the court is the final arbiter, and they tried very hard in the beginning because of what happened in the Santa Maria case back before 05. That's when a lot of these guys got involved, because they were so worried, well, if the basin gets adjudicated, problem is solved. The court's in charge. The court has a water master. In this case, they got a water master now. They don't need the board. We don't need another attorney. We don't need another executive director. Just as Prop 26 they're trying to push, that we had a meeting the other night, they've spent another $20,000 hiring a consultant to sit there. There was 18 people there. Six of them were part of the group. The other 12 were actually people that are concerned about what they're trying to do. So this is just, in their terms, to keep the lights on for this new organization without doing anything. That's almost $1.2 million. That's $100,000 a month for the next 12 months. It works out to $5,000 a day to have two people sit there that don't do anything.
And Greg, when you talk about they are still the same exact people that came in when I was a supervisor and wanted to create, you know, irrigated
water banking.
Yes.
Well, we think that was the
end. It's on their own applications for water that they put. The state asked them, we're trying to get 14,000 acre feet from behind Nacimiento. We're trying to get 14,000 acre feet behind the Salinas Reservoir. What is the purpose? For water banking. It's written in their own application.
What I was trying to stop from the very beginning was just creating new layers of government and giving those new layers of government the authority to tax and regulate you. And in the instance of the water, when it first started, the Paso Basin, the new government that they were trying to create was using a process that lopsided the people with the most acres would have the most. You voted by the acre. That's what we stopped. And in and that, those irrigation districts are all over California. I think there's 600 plus of them. If you're a community of farmers, and Karen, you have 100 acres of farming, and Greg has 500, and I have 1,000, that would make sense that you vote by the acre, because the 1,000-acre owner would have to pay more, and the 500, and so forth, and it would make sense. But they were taking a election process, and actually a governmental creation process, and overlaying it onto all the poor landowners, all the people of our North County. That made me crazy. And then by the acre, who would be them, the theys you're talking about, would have the power to tax and regulate all of the landowners, big and small. That's when I used to make that, too, just joking, but, I mean, I was joking by making an extreme example. Those folks could vote in one of their meetings to have put golden doorknobs in the office, and then all the landowners would have to pay for those golden doorknobs.
And so, that's the case with this board that thinks they're authority. Nobody made them the authority. They made themselves an authority, and they don't. The two I call the fake water districts, Shannon and San Juan, those were opt-in districts. They have control with the membership that opted in to be part of those two groups. And their own people voted against them in the 218 process because they never asked their own members, how do you want to work? How do you want to run this thing? So our elected official, the county is mandated by the state to do this. The rest of these guys are not mandated to do this.
Well, and that goes back to the fact that the county has, for the history of the county almost, had a flood control district that was in charge of water issues. So taxpayers, you're already paying the county public works department to manage. And we did do that. When I was a supervisor, we did do that. The state said too many areas of the state are abusing the groundwater, fix it. We said, sure, we're compliant all the way. So the rest of this is problematic.
We're going to take a break, a word from our sponsors, and be back with more with Debbie Arnold and Greg Graywall.
This Fox Business News update on KPRL is brought to you by Stifel, your full-service wealth management firm since 1890. Stifel, located at 1337 Vine Street in Paso Robles. Call 805-238-3080. Stifel, 238-3080.
I'm Liz Klayman, and this is the Fox Business Report.
Stocks ending at session lows after the Federal Reserve left its benchmark interest rate unchanged in a range of 3.5% to 3.75%, its second pause of the year. The move comes amid a backdrop of high oil prices above target inflation and a sluggish labor market. The central bank is projecting one rate cut this year and one next year. Also weighing on the market today, wholesale inflation data that came in hotter than expected and oil prices that continue to spike. Brent crude, the international benchmark, rose to $108 a barrel, while U.S. crude hit $96 a barrel. The only Dow winners today, Chevron and J.P. Morgan Chase. The biggest Dow decliners, McDonald's, Home Depot, and Amgen. The Dow down 768 points, the Nasdaq lower by 327, S&P 500 down 91. That's your Fox Business Report. I'm Hillary Barsky, invested in you.
Most investments today feel like second jobs. Real estate? You're a landlord. Stocks? You're a day trader. Crypto? You're a full-time researcher. You've got a life to live. Your investment should help you live it. That's why more Americans are choosing gold. Noble Gold has helped thousands protect their future with real physical gold. Visit NobleGoldInvestments.com to get your free wealth protection kit. That's NobleGoldInvestments.com.
Past performance may not be indicative of future results. Investing in precious metals, including gold, involves risks. Consult with your tax attorney or financial professional before making an investment decision.
This Fox Business News update on KPRL brought to you by Stifel, your full-service wealth management firm since 1890. Stifel, located at 1337 Vine Street in Paso Robles. Call 805-238-3080. Stifel, 238-3080.
When it comes to selling your home in the North County, one agent can only do so much.
That's why we show up as a team.
I'm Seth Peek.
And I'm Karen Peek.
And we're the Peek team.
And equal partners in every sale.
Pricing, marketing, negotiations.
We both do it all.
Two professionals reviewing every detail.
Two voices advocating for you at every step.
We tag team the work.
So nothing gets missed.
One mission.
Sell your home with minimized headaches.
We're the Peek team.
At Peek Realty.
And we work together for you.
Thinking about selling your home in North County? Reach the Peek team at Peek Realty. Just Google Peek Realty. That's P-E-E-K Realty. The Peek team at Peek Realty live wonderfully on the Central Coast.
DRE number 021-99910.
Sound off lines are open at 238-5775. 238-KPRL. The North County's listening to you on Sound Off.
Welcome back to Sound Off. My name is Karen V, your host on Wednesday and Thursday afternoons. Today I have former San Luis Obispo County Supervisor Debbie Arnold. And I have Greg Graywall. I consider him an expert in the Paso Robles water basin issues. Both are very passionate about that. I want to bring something up. And for those, there was a Paso Robles City Council meeting last night, and it was jam-packed with major issues. They approved the 24-unit condo development on Crescent Road near the downtown. They then voted to take out the oak trees, and they showed pictures of 10 oak trees. There had been a fire on the property. The one oak tree that looked real healthy, they went to the other side of it. It was gutted. The trees had trouble. They're going to put new trees in. I thought, and I don't say this a lot, I thought everybody did a superior job on the council. They had a issue with the alligator resort by Ayers. They are asking to expand. And what it is there is a little piece of property. I think it's about 10 acres. It was owned by Cuesta College. It's kind of a dog leg piece of property. And they want to put in 93 more hotel rooms. Some of those are going to be rooms are going to be more like bungalows. I think 25 of them. I could be wrong. A 12,000 square foot convention center, a gym, a spa, a restaurant, and a pool. And why I'm bringing this up, what you're going, how does that have to do with water? I'm going to tell you how it has to do with water. There has been a lot of arguments there's not enough water when some people are saying, if you look at the last 8 years, there's been a change. There are forecasters saying because of a slight change in the water temperature, we're going to have much wetter years than we've had in the past. We've had a lot of water, plus at the same time, people cut back. And they voted to approve that. I thought it was a good vote. It'll bring TOT tax into the community. I thought they went over the different issues and discussed it, and it was a good meeting. But I want Greg to say, Greg, remember the city said there's not enough water in areas over the basin that are not with the city.
The city is a defendant in a lawsuit, and they've spent over probably close to $6 million for their portion of it, claiming that the basin is overdrafted, even though they couldn't prove it. It is up to them. They are an appropriator of water, which means they sit in the back of the bus. The overliers have the priority right, like I was saying. So how much water and where is it coming from for this beautiful concept that they want to do? Because every one of those hotel rooms uses water. The pool uses water. All the landscaping uses water. They're not using for over 10 years. They haven't used any, very little of their Nacimiento water, which was their claim was that was their supplemental water they were going to use because, like I said, they have a court order. They're only allowed to take 1,267 acre-feet of basin water. They're asking farmers to fallow their land. At the same time, this is what started the quiet title action because the city has land use authority in their boundary, yet they want 25% of the vote in this water authority to tell other people what to do when they have no land use authority outside of their city, and they're not paying their fair share, and they can't use more than what the court allowed them to use if they claim there's a problem. So which is it? Do we have a problem or we don't have a problem? Why are you spending all this money to fight people that have the priority right when you don't have the priority right? As long as they're making money, they think everything that they want to do is okay. And they need to stand. John Hammond should be sitting next to me right now explaining where this water is coming from and how they're going to and how it's going to benefit the basin.
And explain what John Hammond's role has been in this.
Well, he's the mayor of the city, and he voted with the rest of them to be in a lawsuit. So here we have one trial left that's coming up in August, and the 12 to 13 years of this thing will finally be over. And the 800 property owners that these guys sued, we will have proven our rights, that we are the landowners of our individual pieces of property. Now, we're not adjudicating the basin, but these guys adjudicated themselves with their greed for having to claim these things and to drag this out as long as they possibly can. And that's not managing the basin. Why is John Hammond on a committee called the Water Authority to manage the basin? Why telling other people they can't use water, but the city can use water?
And Debbie, I want you to comment on this, because I noticed when I've gone to meetings before, John Hammond was very often voting against you and with Bruce Gibson. And for some of the water things that you didn't agree with, what do you think about what is happening with the city approving water while saying there's not? And what did you notice about John Hammond when you were in office?
Oh, I wasn't really... What I want to say about all that and about the city in general is that I argued, even during the drought, when I first got elected, we have a huge basin and we have the opportunity to store a lot of water and we would be fine. We're not managing it correctly. But my biggest thing, and what I want to say, and we're going back to that, we're in an election cycle, is that we citizens have to vote for people that will truly represent us and do, you know, things in our best interest. And the water basin management and all the things you guys are talking about is the push and pull on who gets to use the water and what are the regulations. Government is very, very, very expensive. I think we should be voting for people that recognize that and will stop continuing to put layers upon layers upon layers of more government and just making it so confusing people don't even know the right and the wrong thing to do. We started when I first got elected with AB 2453, and the people educated themselves. That wasn't easy. Me too. I was educating myself and defeated something that would, like I said, would be based on acreage and be able to tax, and taxes don't stay still. They usually get bigger. So then we got through all that, and then I was kind of pushed out of the way. But the 218 election that most recently the landowners said it again, we leave us alone. We want to be able to use the groundwater on our rural properties for our beneficial and reasonable use. That's what the law says. Leave us alone. And we don't need another layer of government. Let the county
manage it. And now they want to force this Prop 26.
Well, then when they created a joint powers, as I was leaving, a joint powers, for the folks that don't have time to keep checking in on this, a joint powers means you've created yet another layer of government, a different process, only this time, citizens, you got completely kicked out of the whole process. The joint powers authority, a new government with the power to tax and regulate you, was created by your elected officials. So the Board of Supervisors, the City Council, they came, and these two water districts, which are governments, entities, they came together and decided, okay, we can't get the voters to say yes. We'll just find a process that allows us to decide. And they've created a new layer of government with the power to tax and regulate you. So my rant here is to say, we're coming up on another election cycle. Be careful who you're voting for, because ultimately we're responsible for this ourselves, they, as citizens.
Debbie can tell you that they were supposed to be, if they wanted to be an agency, they had to be a water district. So they made up an irrigation district, which they are not. They're in violation of the water code, and people look the other way. The state looked the other way, said, okay. And the whole purpose for their voting and the amount of voting that they were going to get was the percentage that they were going to pay to manage their areas. And they haven't paid a nickel.
You all, most of you out there listening, pay your taxes. You pay your property taxes. The county was fine. We are compliant with SGMA. We can go along. There may be need to be a little refereeing if someone's overusing the water or not. But we didn't need a whole other layer of government, a whole different one that you hardly even know is there.
Yeah. That will be paid for by the taxpayers.
Right. We pay for flood control.
They will be able to tax you. They will be able to increase the taxes on you.
Those right. They want to use the water code to claim that they can tax you, yet they don't want to use the water code to show that they were illegally formed. This is part of the problem I have. When they want to pull that pistol out of the...
But, Greg, it was our... last one. The first two, the citizens, once they got a shot at it, and once we worked to make it a fair shot, that was where the acreage vote got changed into a...
So Prop 26 is actually a higher...
And explain, this is a new thing.
Yeah.
They've lost their ability over and over and over again to tax the people in the community, in the county,
and control.
They found a new way, and explain Prop 26.
So, if you claim it's a fee, you have to meet a condition. There's seven conditions that you're allowed to claim it's a fee. The other night at this meeting, they said they were going to use condition number one, which says that they have to. And all they're trying to do is keep this authority alive. If they don't have any funding by the end of June, this thing goes away. And now the thing that they used to belong to, the memorandum of agreement, was all they needed. And they had to pay their different amounts for themselves with the groups in there. Even their own members don't want this thing. So if you don't meet one of those requirement, those exemptions, then it's a tax. And then they have to have a vote and they have to win by 2/3. But their lawyers and their little group wants to say, oh no, this is not a tax, this is a fee. Well, they have to provide something. They're not providing anything. Having this young guy from this group called Hallmark to run meetings and hiring another attorney is not a benefit for the groundwater plan or a benefit for the basin or a benefit for the people who live over the basin. All this is a benefit for them to stay in charge and to come up with a different way. The 218, they thought there was no way they could lose because they mail out a bunch of things, and if you don't send it back, then they win by default because everyone they sent out is an automatic yes. Their own membership, besides the people that were involved, voted them down. And what they did with their consultant, they said, hey, you got to take the small user out. You got to take the de minimis user and don't make them part of this. Even though they live over the basin and they get to use water and they're the priority right holder, you don't want them involved in this because you lost AB 2453 by almost 80%, and the same thing's going to happen again. And so they picked and chose on who they wanted to send those protest letters to, and then they came up with a whole rigmarole on, well, if you're going to protest a no, it has to look like this, and it has to be laid out like that. They didn't send you that form. We made those forms. We took it. We mailed them out, and we are the ones that got that thing turned around, and now they're pulling their hairs out. What do we do? What do we do?
So this Prop 26, how does it move forward? Go ahead, Debbie. Now I
just wanted to say, to just remind people that back at the beginning, you know, the county public works took care of the county, rural area, the city, as far as water management. The cities all had their own water management, and there were a few little small water districts, et cetera. So it was all separate people coming together, which we did, and made a plan for the basin, which the state accepted and said, perfect, that you have a plan. Together you all created a plan to manage the basin. We're good. After that, you know, they started all these different kinds, coming at the public, trying to create these separate governments that people just lose track of, and then they can just do whatever they want. But the bill is going to be paid, and sadly, the future of your property, I mean, at some point, you know. So
Prop 26, they want to use the exemption so they can claim it's a fee, not take a vote, just they're going to put this on a bill and send it to you. And if you don't pay it, you're going to be penalized. And then eventually it'll come on your tax bill with your property taxes. And then they'll collect the penalty and it, because you'll automatically, otherwise you're going to have a default against your property taxes. And they're not doing what the people want them done. And again, Paso Robles is in charge of Paso Robles. I don't want the people in Paso Robles inside their city limit telling me what to do outside in the unincorporated area. I'm not part, never was part of the two fake water districts. They have no authority over the land. They don't even have land use authority. The county is the only one with land use authority, but the county is not a water district over the unincorporated area. Only in the town of Shandon and the town of Santa Margarita.
We're going to take a break, a word from our sponsors, and be back with more with Debbie and Greg.
Painting, we get it. Hiring contractors can be frustrating. Missed calls, no callbacks, endless waiting for even a price. We do things different. You can book your quote right on the spot. And to top that off, you will have a detailed quote and price before we leave. Painting is easier with Peak.
Hi, I'm Seth Peak.
And I'm Ryan Peak.
And we're the Peak Brothers. From cabinet painting to interior painting.
Exterior painting, both residential and commercial.
We're your go-to family-owned and operated painting company serving all of Slo County. We look forward to working with you. To learn more and book your appointment, visit Peak Painting at peekpainting.com.
With the big, beautiful bill comes new tax laws, and for business owners, that means more rules, more details, and more chances to miss important savings. This is Billy Gallant with your locally owned and operated H&R Block offices. We stay on top of every tax law change so your business stays compliant and keeps more of what it earns. From deductions and credits to full business tax preparation, our experienced tax professionals handle it all with accuracy and personal service you can trust. Don't let new tax laws cost your business time or money. Call your local H&R Block office today to make an appointment and get your business taxes done right.
What should you look for when choosing an insurance agent? Experience is a key quality. A good agent responds promptly. It gives you clear explanations, letting you know exactly all the details of your policy. And a good agent has good listening skills, and a good agent takes the time to understand your unique situation. A good agent, like Kevin Hunt Insurance, 105 South Main Street in Templeton. Call 805-434-3276.
Do you worry about where to take your car for repairs? Who you can trust? Mike and his team at the Autobahn are a safe bet. Located in Templeton, behind the donut shop, just off Main Street. They service Mercedes, BMWs, Volkswagens, Porsches, and Audis. And the Autobahn is certified in those cars and in repairing Land Rovers, Volvos, and Mini Coopers. Call the Autobahn, 434-2200.
Hi, this is Chris from We Help You Legal. Legal documents should be simple and affordable. At We Help You Legal, there are no lawyers and no high costs. Just certified experts to assist you with living trusts, wills, divorce matters, corporations, and LLCs.
Hi, I'm Christina. We also offer notary services. You can find us online at wehelpyoulegal.com or call 805-237-7770.
We Help You Legal, your Central Coast legal document company.
Welcome back to Sound Off. My name is Karen Vitti, your host on Wednesday and Thursday afternoons. Tomorrow I will have John Pashon on the show. We're going to be talking about Trump and oil in the Central Coast and what is going on and what is not going on. It's political season and we know what happens. A lot of misinformation hits the airways. That will be tomorrow. Today I have former Slo County Supervisor Debbie Arnold and Greg Graywall on the show. I want to bring up this thing about creating governments. It was back in the late 90s when an attorney who ended up going to work for Damski, Murawski, and Green, who has made, I would say, I bet they've made almost, I don't, they receive all these contracts as the attorneys, and they make a ton of money being the attorneys for these districts. Ray Baring and, what's his name? The guy that used to be the assistant city administrator, then he was the head of the courts. You know who he is, but I can't think of his name. The two of them were both at the county at the time. One was the assistant administrator, and the other one was an attorney for the county. And he said, you know, I think we need to pull all the cities would like to be involved. Let's pull these groups out. So you have like the APCD, and let's say it's running on $1 million a year at the county, but they move it out, buy a building, have all the insurance, and suddenly it's $4 million. And same thing with the IWMA, same thing with Slocog. There was a whole slew of these businesses. And then Ray Baring left and became, his law firm became the attorneys for most of this and made a solid stream of money. But the taxpayers lost because these agencies quadrupled in cost very, very quickly. And Mike Brown used to be the director of CoLab. And he had told me, he said probably 10 years ago, he said they're unfundable. They have too high wages with the management. These things are not going to be able to pay their unfunded liability. You're going to see, starting with the weird little districts, then you're going to go up to community service districts, and you're going to have more and more of these districts failing and coming back with the county. Look at San Simeon. San Simeon's now part of the county, are trying to be, $300,000, and there's a group called LAFCO. It's a government agency that approves stuff, and it is making them jump through hoops to move this. But Debbie, what do you think the answer is for the public?
The public just needs to be educated to the fact government is very expensive, and to continue to create new little government agencies that have power to tax and regulate you is just going to drown everybody. We need to stop doing that. We need to always ask yourself, go back. The county has historically has done these jobs and quit, you know, going into these new agencies that eventually cost too much and to have more power and to regulate you.
And I'll tell you this, when I brought up that this adjudication that just happened, and you go to the very back, and that's one of the first things I did when I read it. And I looked at who the attorneys were. So there's White and Brennan, who they're the attorneys for San Miguel. They're also attorneys for the defendants in this case. San Miguel's the defendant in a case I'm in. And so the same attorneys for them, Best and Best and Krieger, the city's a defendant, their attorneys. These guys just are always for the these municipalities that are doing everything wrong, but these attorneys are raking in dough like you can't believe.
And there are conflicts of interest. Julie Tacker is one of my favorite activists in this county, and she has gone after Damski, Murawski, and Green and said, wait a minute, you're working on these people trying to do this, and you're over here. You can't have these conflicts because these different agencies aren't always in agreement.
I believe that Slocog is still working to get a ballot measure probably in November to put a tax, a sales tax, throughout the county. And you know what makes me so mad about that? And they've tried this when I was a supervisor, and I would always be opposed. They'd say, Debbie, what's the matter with you? It's a half-cent sales tax to improve our roads. And I'd say, cumulatively, it will be $25 million, back in the day, $25 million coming out of our churning in our economy, right? It matters. But the point here, the bigger point, who used to be in charge of the roads? That would be County Public Works, right? And we'd pay our property taxes and so forth and maybe beg some money from California or the feds to fix our roads. But guess what? I see now in the budget now today, I'm not there anymore at the county, but road maintenance is not even a word anywhere to be any priority in the budget where your tax, where your property tax, arguably your biggest tax bill, is going into the county, they're not, the priorities are the homeless and the social services and
the
and
undocumented immigrants. They give a ton of money to undocumented immigrants.
When I ran back the first time in 2007, people wanted their roads maintained, and the county does not, you know, the right. bureaucracy doesn't, nope, they're just going at more nonprofits, more new things, more shiny objects. Put the money back where the people want it. Take note, everybody. Be
it's
sure
the same thing with this attorney that's for this water authority that's here. Okay, their firm is one of the defendant's lawyers, too, in this case. And she was supposed to be the 218 expert that they lost. And, I mean, it's just unbelievable.
It's silly.
And do you know, they pulled in the cities this time by saying, we'll give you some of the money to spend on yourself to get the cities to vote for it. And guess what? Everybody did but one. And last night, Pismo Beach says we're coming out against that sales tax.
Yeah.
It takes money out of the economy.
Only Pismo.
If it was the only way, but what the heck? Demand that your tax dollars that you pay into the county coffers, at least some of it gets spent on the things that you citizens prioritize and get the roads fixed. They're spending your money on other pet projects. And so now we have another government agency coming asking for money to fix your roads.
Welcome to Sound Off. What would you like to bring to the conversation?
Thank you for sharing all this information, even though some of it's kind of painful, the money given to the opponents and stuff like that that were kind of went, can't get taken back. It inspired me to just give a donation to Michael Aaron Woody. That's all I want to say.
Well, thank you for calling in, and I'm sure he'll appreciate the donation.
Bye.
The dirtiness in politics I find just absolutely stunning. And the same people that do that, the people, I had a troll that harassed me for years. I get that they always find something new, and it honestly, it's to the point where it doesn't bother me. It's just like, are you this ridiculous? So the latest this week, just to give you an idea, they do things like they order a bunch of magazines in my name and have them sent to me, and I'm billed. But the latest, I got an acceptance from a porn company. Somebody sent them a video, claimed it was me, and they want me to come in for an in-person video interview. I got that yesterday, and I was like, I'm thinking, where did you get the video? Who is it? And why would you spend this much time? I thought it was funny. It's like, how much time did you spend trying to get me a job as a porn person? And it's not me. I'm sure this video is not me.
Right.
But it's nasty. It's the same people that come out and try to shut down newspapers are the same one that get involved in manipulating elections.
And that's what it is. The citizens are the folks being manipulated.
Yeah, so
tax-paying citizens.
All these groups you were talking about, their main concern is to keep their thing funded and to keep their deal alive. So when we're looking at the water authority, do they really care about the basin? No. They care about, the attorney cares about being the attorney and getting paid. They all make anywhere, the smallest guy I think is $250 an hour. These attorneys are making $500 an hour. Why do we need that to manage anything in the basin? We have a few issues in the basin, and they always dealt with the shallow wells. They didn't deal with massive problems throughout the basin, and those shallow well issues, you can go to the county health for environmental health. They're the ones that issue the water permits, and you can see which specific areas have well replacements and what they had to go from and what they had to go to, and then you look at what's around them and you can pinpoint four main areas that have issues, and the rest of the 436,000 acres has zero problem.
It is amazing, and I guess the moral to the story is be careful. We're coming up on election season. Vet your vote, what you're voting for, and the people you're voting for, and let's try to bring some.
But wouldn't it be interesting to have the people sitting here to answer questions that are on that board and say, so what have you done in the last 2 years or and 3 years?
I want to thank everyone for listening. I want to thank Greg. Thank you for coming in.
Thank you.
And Debbie, thank you very much. It's so wonderful to see you.
It's
you
great
look
to be
fabulous.
Back. Ah, thank you.
They're building fence, make sure you're strong.
This hour of Sound Off was brought to you by Mid-State Precious Metals across the parking lot from the movie theater in Atascadero. Honest, veteran-owned. Buy or sell precious metals with integrity. Monday through Friday, 10 to 3.
AM 1230 KPRL, 99.3 FM, KPRL.com. Paso Robles, Atascadero, Templeton.